Hello and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a Yorkrite Mason, and Knight Templar. This week I wanted to cover a response I got to the question I asked on Facebook. I asked, what should we cover on the show? And I'd like to read a paper that deals with that request, which was the importance of charity. I should note that this paper does not totally hit on the importance of charity as much as I wanted, but I thought it would be a good one, especially since it's part of a book, which I'll be posting for download on the app for free. This is a selection from the book entitled The Spirit of Masonry by William Hutchison, FAS. And I have abbreviated the section a bit to fit it into the podcast. One thing I did want to mention is if you have the app, I will put the whole book for download in PDF format for you on the app. So normally, instead of downloading a single paper when you hit download the extras, you'll get that whole book. So it'll be a larger file, but you'll have a whole book, and it's about 200 pages. So kind of a season's greeting gift from the show to you, the listener. So without further ado, here is that selection. The ancients used to depict the virtue charity in the character of a goddess, seated in the chair of ivory with golden tire upon her head. Set with precious stones, her vesture, like the light of heaven, represented universal benevolence. Her throne was unpolluted and unspotted by passions and prejudices, and the gems of her fillet represented the inestimable blessings which flowed variously from her bounty. They also represented the charities otherwise called the graces under three personages. One of these was painted with her back toward us and her face forward as proceeding from us, and the other two with their faces toward us to denote that for one benefit done we should receive double thanks. They were painted naked to show that good offices should be done without disassembling and hypocrisy. They were represented young to signify that a remembrance of benefits should never wax old, and also laughing to tell us we should do good to others with cheerfulness and alacrity. They were represented linked together, arm in arm, to instruct us that one kindness should prompt another, so that the knot and band of love should be indissoluble. The poet tells us that they used to wash themselves in the fountain Acidalius, because benefits, gifts, and good turns ought to be sincere and pure, and not base on counterfeit. Charity in the works of moralists is defined to be the love of our brethren, of a kind of brotherly affection, one towards another. The rule and standard that this habit is to be examined and regulated by Masons is the love we bear to ourselves, or that mediator bore toward us. That is, it must be unfeigned, constant, and out of no other design than man's happiness. Such are the general sentiments which the ancients entertained of this virtue, and what the modern moralist and Mason define it to be at this day. In what character charity should be received among Masons is now our purpose to define, as it stands limited to our own society. Being so limited, we are not subject to be imposed on by false pretenses, and are certain of its proper and merited administration. It is hence to be hoped that charity subsists with us without disassembling or hypocrisy, and is retained in sincerity and truth. That benefits received impresses a lively degree of gratitude and affection on the minds of Masons, as their bounties are bestowed with cheerfulness and without a frozen finger of reluctance. The benevolence of our society is so mutual and brotherly that each render good offices as readily as he would receive them. In order to exercise this virtue both in character of Masons and in the common life, with property and agreeable to good principles, we must forget every obligation but affection, for otherwise it were to confound charity with duty. The feelings of the heart ought to direct the hand of charity. To this purpose, we should be divested of every idea of superiority and estimate ourselves as being of equality, the same rank and race of men. In this disposition of mind we may be susceptible of those sentiments which charity delighteth, to feel the woes and miseries of others with a genuine and true sympathy of soul. Compassion is of heavenly birth. It is one of the first characteristics of humanity. Peculiar to our race, it distinguishes us from the rest of creation. The objects of true charity are merit and virtue in distress. Persons who are incapable of extracting themselves from misfortunes which have overtaken them in old age, industrious men from inevitable accidents and acts of providence rushed into ruin, widows left survivors of their husbands by whose labor they subsisted, orphans in tender years left naked to the world, What are not the claims of such on the hand of charity, when you compare them to the miscreants who infest the doors of every dwelling with their importunities? Wretches, wandering from their homes, showing their distortions and their sores to the prompt of false compassion, with which ill-gotten gains, in concert with vagabonds, they reveal away the hours of night, which conceals their inequities and vices. Charity, when misapplied, loses her titles, and instead of being adorned with the dress of virtue, assumes the insignificance, the bells and feathers of folly. And again, that was an abridged selection of a lecture on charity from The Spirit of Masonry, which will be available as an entire PDF book and free for download through the app in the extra section. One of the things I have done for the past few weeks is to use a website called Chat Roulette. And if you're not familiar, it is basically a webcam chat that picks a random person from anywhere in the world for you to talk to, face to face. Now, there is a risk in this because sometimes people are abusing the service by being naked and whatnot, but I use the filters in order to not get these types of people, and simply had a sign that said, "Ask a Freemason anything," on my end of the webcam. The number one question I received was, "What is a Freemason?" I couldn't believe it. Really, 160 people asked questions, and of those, 134 asked me what a Freemason was. This tells me one thing. Apparently, people don't know we exist. So take that for what it's worth, and perhaps we just need to make ourselves a little better known. I was looking over some posts in the recent weeks, and one that caught my eye was one by a Freemason network on the Facebook page. It basically said something like, "Quantity over quality," and its relation to how Grand Lodges are pushing membership with Blue Lightnings and Mass Master Mason raisings, and most of these members never even go to Lodge. I believe that's correct to a certain extent. If our membership falls to a smaller number, who cares? What's the problem with that? We're still here, and quality Masons aren't going anywhere. I do believe in quality over quantity when it comes to Masonry. One of my Lodge brothers said something to the effect that pretty soon you'll be able to go to the Grand Lodge website and put in your credit card number, and then you'll be a Master Mason. As ironic as that is, it might happen someday. Could you imagine you put in your card number, and then it shows you a slideshow, and then you can print your dues card and certificate, maybe get an apron in the mail? I hope for all our sake that never happens. Moving on, I received an email from a brother who asked me to provide him with a copy of A Mason's Duty, a paper I read in Episode 2. He needed it so that he could read it in Lodge as a reminder to the brethren of their duty, and that they are all brothers, since he is concerned with factions forming in his home Lodge. This is a serious problem that faces many lodges. He isn't alone. I salute our brother for trying to unify his lodge once again, and hope if anyone is experiencing these same problems, to take it on head first. We owe that to our fraternity. Moving on to this week's famous Freemason. This one I was pretty surprised about, and I actually found more information than I usually do, including a picture that I will add to the app as a download. So this week's famous Freemason is the actor Bronson Pinchot, who was made a Mason by virtue of dispensation granted by the Right Worshipful Grand Master. The three degrees were conferred on actor Bronson Pinchot in Hartford Lodge No. 445, Hop Bottom, in December. Brother Pinchot has been in film since he appeared as the comical gallery assistant in Beverly Hills Cop in 1984. Through the years, he has appeared in feature film roles, generally amusing, except not funny, as the villain of the 1995 Stephen King TV miniseries The Langoliers. Pinchot was born Ponchevarsky in New York City, New York, the son of Rosina, a typist, and Henry Ponchevarsky, a bookbinder of Russian family. His mother was an Italian-American and his father Russian-American, who was born in New York and raised in Paris. Pinchot was raised in Southern California after graduating from South Pasadena High School, where he was number one in his class and a valedictorian. He went to Yale University on a full scholarship. He was placed in Morse College there and graduated magna cum laude. He began college studying fine art, but became interested in acting when he won a role in a college play and was discovered by a casting director, which resulted in a role in the feature film Risky Business. During an episode of the $25,000 Pyramid, TV host Dick Clark asked Pinchot what type of work he had done prior to acting. Pinchot answered that he had worked for a company making leather souvenir keychains. When asked how long he did that, He replied, 12 hours a day for a couple of years. He retains an active interest in ancient Greek sculpture, 460 to 31 BC. And in December of 2002, Pinchot became a Freemason. Since approximately 1999, Pinchot has spent a great deal of time in Hartford, Pennsylvania, restoring the circa 1839 mansion of former Pennsylvania State Senator Edward Jones. He has since purchased 6 properties in the small rural town of 1300 in an effort to return the town to its 1800s appearance. Pinchot has a sister and 2 brothers, and one of them being a younger brother, Justin Pinchot, who had a guest starring role in the Perfect Strangers episode, It Had to Be You. Justin also stood in for Bronson when performing a dual role on Perfect Strangers and in TV commercials, causing them to sometimes be misidentified as twins. However, Justin is 3 years younger. In the 1970s, Pinchot was an active member of the International Wizard of Oz Club, for which he organized the 1977 Winky Convention and provided several illustrations for the Oz calendar, copies of which fetch high prices at club auctions due to his celebrity status. That's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to like the show on Facebook, which will allow you to listen to the show via Flash Player on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at Whence Came You. You can email the show at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com, as well as add us to your circle on Google Plus with that same email address. Visit our website at www.wcypodcast.blogspot.com for links to all things for the show, including Twitter, Facebook, and the Whence Came You store. Keep in mind, it also has a link to the Whence Came You app available for Android and Apple devices, which will give you access to the show and extras, and all without syncing. As stated before, this month's extras will be 3 items. First, a Masonic wallpaper for your mobile device. Second, that picture I mentioned of Bronson Pinchot in Lodge. And third, a 197-page book entitled The Spirit of Masonry, which is in PDF form. This is the last show for a couple of weeks. Rest assured, we'll be back with a new episode on the 9th of January. So until then, be safe, have a wonderful holiday season, and for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.